Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. And if this is your first time, please make yourself comfortable as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as true happiness, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, while my co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek, takes time away from the show, we're bringing in some wonderful guest hosts who, like Matt, are making a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, although I don't have a guest co-host this week, as I'm doing the show remotely, next week, Joelle Jacobson, Clinical Outreach Manager for the Hazelton Betty Ford Foundation in West Los Angeles, California, will be with us. Now, I'm also looking for some show ambassador listeners who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media groups and or to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. Now, I truly appreciate it, and this is another way that we can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, our topic today is one of my all-time favorites. It's happiness. And our guest today, Maria Felipe, is the author of Live Your Happy, a new book that explains how to get out of your own way and find the love within. Now, after experiencing success as a model and actress, including hosting the World Wrestling Federation TV show, she studied to become a reverend at Pathways of Light, an accredited religious school inspired by A Course in Miracles. Now, she currently leads monthly services in both Spanish and English at Unity Church in Burbank, California. Maria, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan. What a great introduction. I'm so happy to join with you. It's going to be fun. I could already feel it. Fun and helpful.
Absolutely. In fact, and that's one of the things that some of the feedback that we get from some of our listeners have said just that they love the fact that there's a lot of positive energy and that we really focus on a lot of subjects that make them feel like they have something that they can take and work with to improve their family life across the board.
Well, that's great. So I guess I'm at the right place.
You got it. So now, as somebody who many years ago read A Course in Miracles, when did you first discover A Course in Miracles and how has it changed your life?
Well, I discovered A Course in Miracles in 1995. I was pretty much a hot mess at the time. I was going through a major depression in my late teens, early 20s, trying to figure out what I was going to do for the rest of my life and what my purpose was here. I was so lost. And I was in television, and I had already done television since I was 16 years old. So I was like 5 years in. And it was just such a competitive business that I struggled so much with that, with always being in competition and always wanting that job. And I remember that I was just so depressed and I was so out of sorts that I just walked into a Barnes & Noble store and I saw this woman on the cover of this book, and it stood out for me, which was Marianne Williamson's book, Return to Love. Mm-hmm. And within the book, she's a Jewish lady. She's amazing. And all she does is, I was like wondering, what is this Jewish lady talking about, this blue book, this Course in Miracles book, the whole time in her book? So I was intrigued because her book did help me a little bit at the time, even though it didn't take away my depression. I was still depressed. I just continued searching, and eventually I got out of my depression a little bit. I ended up doing WWF. And then I was at Unity Church in Miami, and they had a course workshop. And I said, oh my goodness, that is the book that I read about in Marianne Williamson's book. And I went into the workshop, and Alan, literally, I fell off my chair when I heard this man say, A Course in Miracles, basically you take responsibility for your life, for your perceptions. You're not a victim of the world that you see, and you forgive people for what they didn't do. And I was like, what is this? What is happening here? I thought that it was just so radical. I was like, seriously, you forgive people for what they didn't do? I didn't get it. But even though I didn't understand, there was something empowering with the message. And the most empowering message was that you are responsible for your experience. And I thought that was so cool, because I felt so victimized all my life. I always felt that poor me, something was happening to me. So that was very refreshing for me. So even though I didn't understand it, I said, I knew that this would be the journey that I would take for the rest of my life. And I would have never thought I would have written a book about it. I would have never thought that I would even be teaching it. But of course, you know, the universe has other plans sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it changed my life that way, because the teachings are so radical. The teachings are very radical.
And you know what's interesting is that we're having this conversation, and we're talking about the terms of taking responsibility and forgiveness, and we're using the word radical with it. Now, the part that amazes me is that has things changed so much? Because to me, this is what should be the norm, and the stuff that's going on out there now in the media that's being put out by politicians, it's being put out by the special interest groups or whatever, is anything but. I mean, it's don't take responsibility. It's blame somebody else. It's don't forgive. So it's interesting that we've gotten to a point to where we're looked at as doing something radical, when in reality, it's exactly what we all should be doing.
Wow, Alan, you're actually the first host that's ever said that it's normal, that it's actually normal to live this way. That's actually our true inheritance, because in the Course it says God's will for us is happiness, and happiness is actually our function. So that's actually happiness is normal. It's our normal state. It's just that we've been caught up in this world of duality, of where we've believed outside sources telling us that is not true, that things are supposed to be hard, that, you know, we have to manipulate, that we have to make happen, that we have to be right, that we can't forgive, which is what you just said. So the normal is, you know, the Course is saying, and what my book is sharing and what you are also sharing, is that the opposite is true. You know, I always say my mantra is, Alan, is easy is normal. You know, we're taught that the hard is normal. But I feel that the reason we say radical is because it is radical within this world. It's radical because it's such upside down thinking. But actually, I think that the more we come into the state of mind that it is normal not to struggle, you know, and it is normal to walk into the doctor's office and perhaps you get some negative news. But I think it's normal for you to not be scared, to stay in your truth, to understand that you're not a body ultimately, that, you know, that they're just words, and you can interpret the words the way you want, you know? Yep. So I feel that it's just very, very helpful to be very careful and discern what's running your mind, fear or love, because that's ultimately the choice.
You got it. And in fact, one of the terms that I use is when somebody starts kind of spewing just a flow of negativity, and I'll stop them and go, excuse me, I said, I'm choosing not to breathe that in right now. And I'll move on. I mean, I literally just am not going to take the time to breathe that in. And so, yes, I'm right with you, is that to me that isn't normal, but yet we've allowed it to become something that is so prevalent that it just appears normal now and is accepted as normal.
Yeah, and we suffer a lot.
Yes.
We suffer a lot in that experience, because we have been, you know, transed out by the thought system of fear in this mm-hmm. world. And you can just see it with, when you turn on the news, it's just a thought system of fear. And you know, I'm not saying that the news is bad or good. I'm not saying what's going on outside is bad or good. I'm not here of judgment. I'm just here to just remind people that we have the power to experience it the way that we would like. and that the world would teach us that we can experience it through fear and actually buy into the fear. But what we're sharing is more of you have the power within you to experience it the way you want, just like you did. So when you get news, you choose to have filters and be like, no, cancel. I don't want to hear that. You know, I deserve to be happy. I'm worthy of happiness. You know.
Yep. You got it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You mentioned fear. And again, for those of you that, that haven't read the book, there's a chapter in there. And here I'm reading along these things and I'm reading about love and I'm reading about happiness. And then I get to a chapter and it says, essentially, we're now going to talk about the F word. You know, and I went, whoa. So Maria, now, so you actually talk a lot in the book about two F words quite a bit. One is fear and the other is forgiveness. So share why these two words are so important to our happiness.
Well, they're essential. I mean, they're vital. I mean, happiness and forgiveness and happiness and being fearless go hand in hand. You experience happiness and you claim happiness within the forgiveness and being fearless. Now, I do share very, very deeply on fear and forgiveness. And a lot of the chapters go hand in hand with the forgiveness and the fearless theme. And I did it that way because that's what was helpful to me. You know, my book comes from a very personal space. It comes from a space of that I really had to work it and really had to be completely willing and have no compromise with living this type of world of where I take responsibility and I'm not a victim of the world that I see, like living it big time. So it comes from that space. The reason that I share about forgiveness a lot in my book is actually one of the central themes of A Course in Miracles, forgiveness. And it's that the central theme because the Course says that the only way that we're able to remember our truth and come back to love is through the tool of forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is only needed, the Course says, in this realm, in this world, because it is a world of duality. But the world that we truly come from, which is in God and in love, and it's perfect and whole and complete, forgiveness is not needed because everything is one. There is no judgments in that space. So forgiveness is basically the reason I use it in my book is because forgiveness is completely different the way that I express it. Forgiveness in the world means, Alan, you know, you forgive a person for what they did, right? So they really did it. You're making it very real. And you forgive them because you want to be the better person, you know, or you forgive them because you say, you know, I have Jesus and you don't, you know, or whatever we do. So in the world, forgiveness is basically we make it very real and that something really happened. The Course is saying differently. So it's just another way of thinking of forgiveness. So I invite the listeners just to be open because it is different and it is radical as we were sharing. So basically, in the forgiveness of the Course in Miracles, you take complete responsibility. So the first step is that you're responsible completely for your experience and your perception. The second step is that you look at it with love. So you wipe the slate clean. So what the person did is not going to really affect you because you're choosing to see that person differently. Because the Course says everything's love or a call for love. Mm-hmm. So that person's just calling for love or it's a call for love. And you've also been there and you've also done that.
Right.
You know? So you're judging that person because they're being judgmental and you've actually been there. So I always say, love them.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. That's very important. The third step is that you give it over to Holy Spirit and you ask for a miracle. That's the third step of forgiveness.
Now, I've had people reflect back to me when I have tried as far as working with a family or something to where they've said, well, yes, but they believe that the more they do that, that the other person is just more of a taker, that they just continue to push that limit in a more negative way. What do you say to that person when they don't feel that forgiveness is going to get them to where they feel they need to be?
Alan, first of all, I just wanted to share with you that I'm on the call with you and I'm getting very nauseous because I'm actually pregnant.
Oh.
So as we're speaking, I just got so sick. I'm so sorry. Oh my goodness. Woo! I haven't had any nausea, but I just had it now for the first time, Alan. So I guess you bring out the best in me.
I'm not sure that's the best, but.
Oh, my God. That was crazy. I just wanted to share that with you because I just got very sick right there. So during the interview, if anything happens, I'll just let you know.
Okay. Well,
that was a total surprise.
But if your water breaks, this could be a first on radio. I mean, we're going to have a baby on radio.
Well, I'm actually in my first trimester. I'm in my second month, but now's when supposedly the nausea comes in, but it hasn't come in at all. And everybody's asking me, are you nauseous? And guess what? Now's when it just started. So that's crazy.
Tell all those I would say, tell all those people that brought it in that you would have rather not breathe that in. Okay.
Yes. But I just wanted to share it with you because I was a little bit crazy there. But I'm present now and I'm feeling better.
Okay.
So you asked me one last question. I didn't hear it because I was too busy growing up. But
we have another first on radio, folks.
I'm very honest and authentic, as you can see. You know, I like to keep it real.
And we have. The question was that in working with some families, and one of the things that we do, we do some crisis intervention work, and I've worked with families, and when you were talking about forgiveness, it reminded me of talking to a particular family in which I was explaining to somebody who felt that they were the injured party in the sense of having been, in this case, cheated on, and how there needed to be a level of forgiveness before their family could heal. And the person who felt hurt in this situation felt that they couldn't, that they had gone to a place of forgiveness in the past and that it allowed things to keep going in the wrong direction. And I found it to be difficult to be able to try to explain to them why they still needed to go to a place of forgiveness. So share with us maybe somebody, if there's somebody out there who's gone through that and they've said, you know, I want to forgive, but yet I feel like when I do, it's as if I've somehow made it seem like it was all okay and it wasn't.
Yeah, and that's very important to distinguish, you know, because there's two things. One could be that, you know, you forgive in the worldly sense and you just say, you know, because you have forgiven and then you kind of just settle. And that's not the type of forgiveness we're talking about here. You know, the forgiveness that we're talking about here is that you are within the relationship, you decide to not be a victim of it. That's the first thing. The second step is to understand that in truth, nothing has happened to you, even though that person has looked like they have. It does appear that has happened. Now, that person who has forgotten who they are for a hot second, they're not being in integrity. We all know this, you know, inform it has happened. Mm-hmm. So of course you're going to be hurt, you know, and you want to feel that, you know, one of the things within forgiveness is that you're going to be sad, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, feeling your feelings is actually a really good thing, you know, and getting really sad and crying and even throwing up is a good thing, you know? So you feel it and you're with it. And then the process is within the feeling it, you heal it, you know, so you don't deny it. Mm-hmm. But then within it, there's a point that you have to let go and say, listen, I'm going to be in this relationship, but I need to completely, you know, let go of my grievance towards this. Now, just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean that you need to stay with them. And it doesn't mean you need to go have coffee with them. You know, mm-hmm. I've, you know, I know a lot of people are going to be like, what, you know, I have totally had forgiveness with Donald Trump. You know, he's really my dear brother. And I know it seems in the world that he's out of his mind, but I have forgiven him, but it doesn't mean that I need to go have coffee with him. You understand what I mean?
Yep.
So you could literally have a healing with somebody, but it doesn't mean that you need to take their bullshit or be in their life. You know, yep. That makes sense.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. And I've said it many times. We don't have to necessarily agree with everything that somebody says or everything that somebody does without wanting them to succeed, without praying that they succeed, you know, without, you know, wanting good things for them as we would for anybody else. You know, so yes, I completely get it.
Yeah, and we're all, everything's a mirror, you know, Alan. If we really look at things in like, if everything reflects just a mirror of you, because everything you're going through is for your healing, you know. So, for instance, this infidelity, that is being reflected for a reason, you know, that person's in that situation for a reason to heal. And what's coming up in the other partner is just a reflection of what's going on within that other person's self. Because if you spot it, you got it, you know. So if for some reason, some insecurity is being reflected, some lack of self-love is being reflected of where that other person's showing you where you need to heal. So mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's actually that person is playing the role that you've assigned to them in a very unconscious way. That's why we have relationships. Is our relationships are just mirrors so that we're able to heal things within ourselves. And I know that this is very deep and very out there, but I know that your listeners can handle it, right, Alan?
Oh, yes. I'm confident they can.
Yeah. And I love it because we make it easy and practical, you know, that's mm-hmm. what's important.
Well, and that's one of the things that I really like about your book is, and you, again, for those that haven't done The Course in Miracles, I mean, The Course in Miracles is huge. I mean, it's one of the longest books you'll ever find. But your book, you've narrowed things down, you've simplified it. And one of the things, too, that even from the standpoint of the title, it says, live your happy. It doesn't say how to be happy. It's not like, a you know, okay, do exactly what I say. And it's to be what one person's happiness is. It's to live your happy. It's putting somebody in a position to own it right from the get-go. And I like that. So when you were deciding to do this, what made you come up with that particular title?
Well, I love what you share about it. And yeah, the title is, I feel is very empowering in that way. And it's true. I never thought of it that way that you just said, because a lot of books say be happy or, you know, own your happy or whatever, but this is more of putting it like, you know, in the person that they're responsible for it and they can have it. Live Your Happy came from, it was the first title that I chose. It was a title that came to me instantly when I decided to write this book. And the reason for it is that my book is all about living the experiences of the principles of the Course in Miracles and really embodying them. So for me, Live Your Happy is basically living in the world every single day, living in being responsible for your perceptions, you know, living in a space of not being victimized and not being a victim, or feeling that you're victimized, I mean. Mm-hmm. Living in the world knowing that you have everything and you lack nothing. You know, living the experience of gratitude every day, and also living in a state of being fearless and empowered. And that's why I call it Live Your Happy, because it's a way of being. And also, the title comes from my frustration with self-help books. You know, I just had self-help desperation of where I would read these books and I would be feeling really, really good on Monday. And they were so powerful and I loved everything they said, but I wouldn't bring it into my experience. It would just be intellectual. Mm-hmm. So then by Thursday, I was a hot mess. You know, I wasn't feeling good anymore because it was in the mind. So the Live Your Happy comes from a space of speaking to your heart, you know, you say in español, tu corazón, your heart, so that you can be inspired. So when you wake up in the morning, you're going to embody these principles of living your happy, which is the other ones I just shared with you. And in that is where the transformation is. Why? Because all my life, I struggled with not living it. I struggled with going to course groups every week on Monday and still not feeling good. You know, I would go mm-hmm. every single day, and it's because I wasn't implementing it. I would say, I am love, I am light. And then I would look for love outside of myself, you know? So it wasn't working because I wasn't in the I am love and I am love period. I wasn't in the I am abundance, and I was, you know, suffering that I didn't have money in the bank account, you know. Now it's more in alignment because I'm living it fully to max capacity without compromise. And one thing I have to say, Alan, is it takes something. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that. You know, they want the easy fix. You know, they just want it now. And honestly, a lot of people want it and they say they want it, but the truth is they really don't because they're terrified, because it's really hard to live a happy life because we're so conditioned, which is interestingly enough, we actually talked about this at the beginning, right? Interestingly enough, they're not used to it because we're so used to the fear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. It's hard to want to commit to being willing to be happy because it's not our natural state in this world of duality.
Well, you got that right. Now, for everybody out there, we are talking with Maria Felipe. The book is Live Your Happy. So stay with us. And if you want to follow along, if you're at your computer, you can open up another screen and you can go to mariafelipe.org. And you can also follow along on there. You can go there to be able to order the book or just to sort of keep up with what Maria is doing through her website. So stay with us. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that is legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585. Or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. We're speaking with Maria Felipe. We are talking about Live Your Happy. We are talking about A Course in Miracles. And we're talking about morning sickness. But hey. So I'm sure there's something in there that you can get from that.
Do you know what I want to say real quick, Alan, that actually there's something to be said about that, that when I said it, when I verbalized it, instead of keeping it within and pretending that everything was fine, because it's not about pretending, mm-hmm. I always think that authenticity is so beautiful and so spiritual and actually an act of happiness, is that when I shared it, it went away.
There
it
you
went
go.
Away. Why? Because I wasn't pretending, oh, I'm on a show, let me, you know, brush it under the rug. That's not being authentic, and it's actually pretending, but I felt like when I shared it with you, it was gone, you know? So something to be said about that, you know, to just really be fully self-expressed in your life, you know, because it's within the fear that these things come up more and more, you know? So I think that was a beautiful learning experience for me, actually.
Yeah, and it makes sense because there's so many things that we take inside and we harbor it and we refuse to let it out and it just sits in us and it kind of eats at us and like fear. And so to be able to go out, express it, to open up, it frees it. So it frees us. So yeah, like, as I said, we're learning all kinds of things on this show.
Yeah, it was just really beautiful for me to be able to be honest with you and share what was going on. You know, there's a lot of freedom in being honest and being open with people instead of pretending, you know.
Yep, you got that right. Now, one of the other things that I think is that people will find in the book is that it's not really saying that we should be happy all the time. So share with us a little bit about that aspect of the book.
Well, I also want to say at the very, very beginning that this book will make you happy. Yeah. So that's how far I go. The reason I do that, because this book is to empower your true self. You know, this book is really to inspire who you are in truth. It's really to give you the power to understand that you can actually change your life and you can actually change your mind and you have the power within you and the tools within you. Now, the book, it's practical and it will help you and it is a tool, although ultimately it's your decision. So that's why I say that this, you know, this book will make you happy. And the reason for that is because that is to empower you. Because how disempowering is it for me to say that I have the key to your happiness or that my book has the key to your happiness, you know? But my book is pointing at that you have the key to happiness within you, actually. And I had never really read something like that. I've always gotten these, you know, seven steps to manifesting, or you make your dreams come true, you know, and, and this book is basically telling you have it all now and you lack nothing. You know, you just basically need to claim it. Mm-hmm. Now, when I talk about in the book that, you know, you don't literally need to be happy all the time. What I'm trying to say is that this book is not cheerleader happiness. So this is not a rah-rah cheerleader, you know, happiness that is basically, you know, determined on outside sources. It's a happiness that I want to cultivate with my readers to understand that they can cultivate happiness that's more consistent. Which means that you can be happy all the time because it's actually your inheritance to be happy all the time. Actually, Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day. That's actually your inheritance. Now, the thing is that within the happiness, because that is who you are in truth, we talked about it from the very beginning that this world is upside down and it's making us believe that we're not. Mm-hmm. In truth, we are happy all the time. The only thing is that under the happiness umbrella, Alan, we forget. We just forget within the happiness. So it's not that we're not happy anymore because it's actually who we are in truth. It's just for a moment we forget. We forget. We believe in our problems. We believe in our family issues. We believe in what the doctors told us. We believe in what our boss has told us and what our friend has told us, et cetera, that could be detrimental or very hurtful to us. But it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that our happiness is lost because happiness is what we are. It's just for a moment, we just forget we have a little dream of separation of where we've gone to the illusion and believe that that is real. But your true essence, your core of happiness has never left you because it's what you are. Now, within, under the happiness umbrella, you want to not pretend and brush things under the rug. Because brushing things under the rug and pretending that everything's fine, especially if you're spiritual and you're on this path, and believing that everything is fine, that's not being spiritual. You know, that's actually going to be ultimately hurtful to you. So under the happiness umbrella, you feel the feelings. Like I was saying earlier, you feel the feelings and you go there instead of running off and having a drink, instead of running off and doing drugs or watching the television, you know. Sit with it. And it's going to be very uncomfortable. And again, it takes something to claim your happiness, which is already yours. It's going to take something. And it's going to be a little uncomfortable. But I tell you, it has great results. Because ultimately, you're going to start living, and you're going to no longer feel like you're dying, because you're going to start living a life that's really real, that's really true, that's really in the essence of the happiness that you already are. So within it, that you wake up to the truth under the happy umbrella, and you start to do the happy dance, because you start to live in this world, understanding that you're in this world, but not necessarily are you of this world, and you start to live in this world with more of a gentle smile. Because you don't take anything that's happening out there so seriously and make things matter. But I really feel that the truth and the normal is that for us to be happy Monday through Sunday, 24 hours a day. But I'm not talking about false happiness, the cheerleader happiness. I'm talking about true happiness, which is the happiness that's not conditional on things happening outside for you to be happy.
Yeah, and I love that. And that ties right into a lot of what this show is about, because we have many guests that come on and we talk a lot about parenting. And the parenting aspect of this, I see it as, from what you're saying, is that it's about the empowerment. If you're going to empower somebody, and this is how I see your book, you're empowering somebody to find that happiness, just as if we were in raising children, it would be that you're going to empower them to find the happiness or whatever it is that we're empowering them at that time, rather than just trying to have something that talks at them. If you just tell them something or you do it for them, that's not necessarily going to achieve a level of empowerment unless, you know, you are focused on showing them how they're going to do it. And that was, to me, part of the beauty of this book.
Yeah, I love that you're doing this work, Alan. It's very helpful because, you know, as I always say to my one-on-one clients that I do counseling with, I always say the power to heal is within you. You know, the power to heal is within you. That's one of the first things I say in my session. And it's crazy for me to say that because I'm the counselor, you know, I'm supposed to be saying that I can help you, right? But I don't say that. I don't say I can help you. I say, the power to heal is within you. And I'm actually here to help you in the way to recognize that.
Exactly.
To empower you that you know. That's so helpful.
Yep. Yeah. And you're right. We're just facilitators at that point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And there's not, doesn't mean that we're not going to give suggestions. It doesn't mean that we're not going to talk about it. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not going to share things. Although the core of it is always just to hold my brother and sister in high regard and really see them in their light and their truth. And not also not make whatever's going on with them even more real and add to it. It's more of a consciousness of really holding the light for your brother and sister at the time. Because if you react to their fear, you know, oh my God, poor you, poor thing. Oh my God, let me help you. Let me save you. You see how you're making it more real than being like, hey, you know what? I understand what you're going through. You're still going to be loving. You're still going to be kind. But you always want to hold your brother and sister in the light and look beyond the body and make it less and less real. That's the only way we're being truly helpful. And not only that, that person is just you. So you're not only doing the healing for them, you're doing it for yourself. Because the more that you get caught up in the fear of things, the less helpful we are being, because we're just magnifying it more and making it more real for that person by going all over them, Google Gaga, and hugging them and just making it very, very real. You know what I mean? That's what we do. We make it very real.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, because I think a lot of us sometimes will talk about the fact that if you do something for them, or, you know, if you fix everything, they're never going to learn how to fix it. That's one of the things that I think, you know, from a psychological standpoint, we've all learned to recognize. But you've added something to that too, which is we're making it more real to them by making such a big deal about it, as opposed to just empowering them on how to work through it themselves. I think there's two really great things that can come out of just empowering them and not getting all excited and going into so much drama over it.
Yeah. And I think that we're just conditioned to go into the drama, and we think that that's actually loving and being helpful. We actually think that sacrifice is love, you know, and the truth is that's the opposite, you know? And you can tell the energy level so different if you are poor you, and you could tell the difference of energy than holding space and seeing the person in the light. There's two different energies there. So we want to do more of raising our brother and sister in high regard and believing their health for them. You know, if somebody's going through a cancer or somebody's going through something, yeah, of course, it appears that it's happening in form, and you're not going to tell the person, oh, this is not really happening. That's not being loving. You know, of course, you're going to love them and be gentle with them. But in your mind, this is a mind thing. You just see them in the light and see their perfect health versus making their cancer more real for them. That's the best you can do for the person.
Yeah, it makes sense. Now, I've got a question that kind of goes into a little bit about what we talked about earlier. And what I'm going to be asking for are just a few tips that people can do, that they can start doing themselves. Because right now, you know, it seems like there's this incredible battle for our attention, you know, advertisers for our money, politicians for our vote or to further their own power, the media for our eyes and ears. So much of their tactics are focused on the negative, and being happy does not seem to play into their agenda at all. So what are some of the things that we can do to avoid their traps without becoming apathetic?
Yes, I love that. That's a great question and a very helpful and practical way that I hope to share with you, which is the first thing is that we need to understand the way our mind works so we can deal with worldly issues and deal with the world in itself, because we don't understand the way our mind works. That's key. And the way our mind works is just the understanding that we have two thought systems in the mind, which is fear and love, and depending which one we are attention to is what we're going to experience. So in Course in Miracles, it's called Holy Spirit and Ego. The Holy Spirit's a voice of love, and ego is a voice for fear. I'm sure we've heard this concept of ego before. In the Course, it talks about the thoughts in our mind that are fearful. You can also say the two thought systems are fear and love. You can also say that the thought systems, you know, there's just a duality of those two teachers that are in our mind. Now, the teacher of fear and the teacher of love. So within anything of where you are experiencing things outside of yourself, like, you know, the politics and, you know, stuff going on at work or maybe stuff going on in your relationship, you can actually perceive it and experience it the way that you choose to experience it. And none of them is right or wrong. It's just that one of them is going to take you straight to heaven, and the other one's going to take you straight to hell. You choose. Now, heaven and hell is not somewhere you go to. I call heaven and hell here on earth. Mm-hmm. Now, heaven is when you experience such peace and such happiness and such joy in this world. And I'm sure that we've all felt that we are in hell. Most of the time we feel that we're in hell. So when you are in this world and you're experiencing these trials and tribulations, right away you can decide to stop it. You can stop it and you can look at it and be like, okay, I could choose to see this through fear or love right now. I have the choice and the power to decide how I'm going to experience it. And you invite the voice of love within your mind. This is what I do. I say, Holy Spirit, I feel fearful right now. Holy Spirit, I'm judging right now. Holy Spirit, I feel like something's happening to me right now. Now, you can use the words that you want. Maybe some people, Holy Spirit's too religious or too spiritual, whatever it is. You can use the word love. Love coming to my mind right now. Or inner wisdom coming to my mind right now. Or best friend. Holy mm-hmm. friend. Whatever. I don't care what you want to call it. I just ask you to just call it in because it's gonna be really helpful. And then you ask for a change of perception. You ask to be able to see what is really going on here. And I have to say it's very, very helpful because everything is just perception, Alan. Everything mm-hmm. we experience is neutral. It's actually neutral. What makes it not neutral is the meaning you give it. Think about it. You know, mm-hmm. if my husband says something, I can in my mind, let's say he just saying something that's not very nice. In my mind, I can literally say that what he's saying is peanut butter sandwich. You know, it could be different. It doesn't have to be that I need to make it mean that he's doing something. I could basically change the meaning I give it. You know, it's not that I could pretend it's not happening, but it has less effect if I make it matter or if I give it meaning. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think so much that, you know, we've been conditioned if there's something to where you can take it one of three different ways, the conditioning out there now is take it the most negative possible way.
Yeah, that is true. Take it the most negative way and be as reactive as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. React. And get mad as much as you can because that is helpful. Now, that's what the world would say. Although the truth is that it's not helpful. First of all, it's not helpful for you because ultimately you're going to have health issues because you're just going to attack your body ultimately. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you're actually not holding your brother and sister outside in high regard. Your brother and sister, I say, you know, men and women of the world, I just like to say that word because we're all one. But basically, you're not holding the person outside in high regard and in love by... Or the situation in love, and you're just making it more real. But the world would have you make it more real, give it more effect. You know, go and do. Go and do a strike, or go and go out there and put your signs up, and don't go to work, and let's fight this, and all these things of like to doing stuff in the world. You know, to fix it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with going out there and doing things like this. I'm not saying that. But I just want to bring you back to your mind. I want to bring you back to that the only real change that will create change in your experience is your thoughts and what mm-hmm. you're cultivating in your mind. That's the only place. That's where your power is. And if in consciousness, all of us start to come back to love, all of us start to come back to truth, all of us start to let go of judgment, start to take responsibility, stop being victims of the world that we see. If all of us collectively start to do that more and more, and it is happening. It is happening with this new generation. It is starting mm-hmm. to happen with technology. It is starting to happen now. We could say that this is a beautiful expression right now that's going on in the shifts that are taking place in the world right now because we need it. Is right now, collectively, if we start to do that more and more, Alan, our experience in this consciousness, in this realm of this world that I call the dream world, is going to be different. And that's the only way that we're going to find change. You know, we're not going to find change in going out there and doing wars. We're not going to find change by going over there and picketing. That's not where the change is. The change is always in our mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You got that right. We've got a listener question coming in. I want to get this in. This one reads, when you are working so hard to keep food on the table, is it any wonder that so many of us are feeling helpless and depressed? I want to be the example of a different way of living for my two children. I want to be happy for them and myself, but as a single parent, I'm really struggling. The title of your book captured my attention, and I'm looking forward to listening to the show and hearing how you think your book can help me find my happy. And this is from Audrey in Missouri.
Wow, that's a powerful question. Why? Because I think, you know, many people that are listening could relate to having a situation of money. Money is a very big issue, and people out of work, or they don't have enough money to even put food on their table, which is you just expressed. So first, I just want to acknowledge you for being honest and being real and authentic and sharing your story with us, because I feel that when people share, they're also helpful to all of us. The question mm-hmm. is helpful to us all collectively. And my answer to that is the following. The way that you could be a role model is because you find yourself in this situation with lack of money and not being able to put food on the table, and that feels very real. I get it, and I'm sure it's a very hard time for you. I get that, just like it would be for anyone. I can just talk about my experience, which there's been times that I've only found myself to have $500 in the bank. You know, I've been in those times that I haven't probably had hardly money in my bank account. Now, I haven't had kids, but I've had to have struggles of paying my rent. So it's a little bit similar in a way. Mm-hmm. And how I was able to do it is that I've always maintained in my mind, because as I said, the power is only in your mind. It's so funny that question came right after I was just talking about, is that I always maintained in my mind a thought of that I'm not lacking. So even though I had very little money and I couldn't pay for things sometimes, I never bought into it. I never made it more real. That's kind of a thing that's been coming up, Alan, right?
Mm-hmm,
like
sure.
I wasn't like victimized, like, oh my God, I didn't feel that struggle. And I know that when you have kids, it could probably be very magnified, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel that if you really live a life of trust and know that you're totally taken care of and believe in the invisible, believe in what you're not seeing with your eyes, you start to cultivate this trust within you and confidence, and you're going to start to receive the good. And maybe your money might not come through a check, through work. Maybe your money might just come because you're just believing so much that you might get it through another resource. We don't know what it is. For instance, I don't know where you live, but right now you're going to be having this book come to you. You know, I know that you're not having money resources. So Alan and I don't know, Alan, if we could do this and maybe send this person a book. Because okay. I feel that sometimes you attract things in your life and you think that money only comes from a certain source, but it could come from anywhere, Alan. Mm-hmm. I just think that we don't believe in the invisible too much. We just believe, oh, this is our only source of income. But when you start to really, really trust and live in a life of trust, you start to attract and start to bring into your life anything you need for your supply. It's just that right now she's probably in a fearful space. She's really believing that things are happening and really buying into it. That's kind of breaking the energy. So the empowering thing is just really, really being open to receiving and knowing that she's always provided for, even though in form it doesn't look like it. You have to keep everything in high regard and keep everything in the light. So that's how I would handle that situation.
And I appreciate that very much. And yes, so for Audrey, if you contact either go to Maria's website or go to Answers for the Family, it's just answersforthefamily.com. Go to our website. Just let us know who you are and we'll figure out a way to get you the book. Before we close the show, Maria, I just want to thank you and acknowledge you for your passionate pursuit of making this world a better place for all of us. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Alan. It's so great joining with you. What beautiful space to be able to share from together, and practical, because, you know, I'm all about it being practical and helping people to live this stuff, you know, for it to be very tangible and easy to do. So I hope that people like the book and that it's helpful to them.
Well, and again, that is what I got from the book. And again, you can get it most anywhere, but you can also go to Maria's website, mariafelipe.org. Maria, again, thank you so much. And for everybody out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when Matthew Pearson and Dr. Amanda Stokel join us to discuss the University a Neuropsychiatric Institute's Comprehensive Assessment and Treatment Program. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com or subscribe to our show through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Vimeo, or whatever the platform you use. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people and make a greater positive difference in the lives of others. Thank you for everybody out there. Be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.